Welcome back to the Crypto Daily. Our top story, BlackRock's ETF game is strong, with their Bitcoin ETF seeing massive inflows driven by new investors. Let's break it down with our guest, crypto analyst extraordinaire. What's your take on BlackRock's success here? Is this just the beginning of Wall Street embracing Bitcoin?
It's huge. BlackRock hitting the market with a Bitcoin ETF was a game changer. But the real story? 75% of their buyers are newcomers to the ETF game. They're coming from the crypto world, showing a massive appetite for traditional financial instruments if they offer Bitcoin. BlackRock's bet on education is paying off. They're essentially onboarding a new generation of investors into the world of ETFs, using Bitcoin as the hook.
So it's not just about offering Bitcoin. It's about packaging it in a way that appeals to both Wall Street and crypto natives. Smart move by BlackRock. But what does this influx of new investors mean for the crypto space as a whole? Are we going to see more traditional players jumping in?
Absolutely. This is a clear signal to Wall Street. The demand is there. We'll likely see a wave of new Bitcoin ETFs and maybe even other crypto assets trying to get a piece of this pie. The competition will be fierce, but ultimately, it's good news for investors. More options, more competition, and hopefully better products.
Speaking of accessibility, another development caught my eye. Polymek, a DeFi fundraising platform on Polkadot, just partnered with Banksa, a fiat-to-crypto gateway. Users can now fund projects directly with their credit cards. What do you think of this move to simplify Web3 fundraising?
It's a brilliant play for wider adoption. Remember, not everyone in Web3 is a crypto native. This integration lowers the barrier to entry, making it easier for traditional investors to participate in blockchain projects. It's like offering a familiar on-ramp to a new highway.
Exactly. It's about meeting investors where they are. Speaking of meeting user needs, Engrave, the company behind the Zero Hardware wallet, is integrating with MetaMask. This means users can combine the security of cold storage with the convenience of a hot wallet.
That's a powerful combination. It addresses a major concern in the crypto space. Security. By allowing users to sign transactions offline with their Engrave Zero and then broadcast them through MetaMask, they get the best of both worlds, ease of use without compromising on security.
It's a smart move that could set a new standard for security in the DeFi space. It'll be interesting to see how other wallet providers respond. So, this Web 300 list from Whitebridge.network has me intrigued. It's like a Forbes list, but specifically for Web3 investors, and it's heavily driven by AI. Do you think it holds weight?
Absolutely. It's not just a vanity metric. This ranking system, factoring in everything from social influence to actual investment activity, provides valuable transparency. For entrepreneurs seeking funding, it's like having a roadmap to the most impactful players.
I agree. And the inclusion of community feedback adds another layer of accountability. It keeps the list dynamic and relevant.
Precisely. It forces investors to be more mindful of their public image and contributions to the Web3 community. It's a fascinating example of how AI and decentralized intelligence can work together to shape an industry.
Speaking of institutional adoption, DBS Bank is making some serious moves with blockchain. They're rolling out tokenized payment settlements and even experimenting with blockchain-based government grants. It seems like they're going all in on this technology.
It's a smart move. DBS recognizes the efficiency and transparency that blockchain offers. Their permissioned blockchain approach allows them to maintain regulatory compliance while still leveraging the benefits of DLT. This could be a game changer for transaction banking.
And it's not just about internal efficiency. Their OTC crypto options trading platform for institutional investors shows they're serious about capturing the growing demand for digital assets.
Absolutely. They're positioning themselves at the forefront of both traditional and digital finance. This kind of forward-thinking approach from a major player like DBS could have a ripple effect on the entire industry.
This next story is a doozy, folks. A game developer, Fracture Labs, is suing Jump Crypto for allegedly orchestrating a pump-and-dump scheme with their in-game currency, DAIO. What are your thoughts on this case?
This is a classic example of the kind of accusations that plague the crypto space. Fracture Labs claims Jump Crypto manipulated the price of DAIO causing them significant financial harm. It'll be interesting to see how Jump Crypto responds, especially given their reputation as a major player.
The lawsuit alleges that Jump Crypto encouraged Fracture Labs to launch DIO on HTX, then engaged in a mass sell-off, tanking the price. Fracture Labs also lost most of their security deposit to HTX due to the price manipulation. This is a tangled web.
It highlights the risks associated with market makers in the crypto world. While they're supposed to provide liquidity, there's always the potential for conflicts of interest and market manipulation. This case could have major implications for how market makers operate in the future.
The timing of this lawsuit is interesting too, considering the recent indictments of several crypto market makers by U.S. authorities. It seems the regulatory spotlight is shining brighter than ever on this part of the industry.
Absolutely. This case could set a precedent for how similar allegations are handled going forward. It'll be fascinating to see how it unfolds and what it means for the future of market making in the crypto space.
Shifting gears to a different kind of controversy, Bollywood actress Tamannaah Bhatia is facing questioning in India over alleged ties to a cryptocurrency scam.
This HPZ token case is a wild one. They were promising investors huge returns through crypto mining, but it looks like it was all smoke and mirrors.
And Bhatia's alleged involvement adds another layer of complexity. Did she knowingly participate in the scam, or was she an unwitting participant, paid for an appearance without knowing the full story?
That's what the investigation will hopefully uncover. It's a reminder that even as crypto gains mainstream acceptance, there are still bad actors looking to exploit people's lack of understanding.
Absolutely. And this case also highlights the increasingly global nature of these scams. The ED investigation has uncovered links to Chinese-controlled entities, showing how these operations can span borders.
It's going to be interesting to see how this case develops, especially with the ED's history of cracking down on financial misconduct. It could set a precedent for how celebrity endorsements in the crypto space are scrutinized in the future.
So, the UAE is stepping up their crypto game again, this time with a legal framework specifically for DAOs. What are your thoughts on this? Is this as groundbreaking as it sounds?
It's definitely a big deal. Remember, legal clarity is like the holy grail for DAOs right now. They operate in this weird gray area, often without a recognized legal structure. That creates huge risks for members and stifles innovation.
And this move by the RAC DAO seems to address those concerns head on. Tax clarity, legal entity status, protection from liability, it's a pretty comprehensive package.
Exactly. And the fact that they're making it easy for DAOs to set up remotely, even open bank accounts, that's huge. It could turn the UAE into a magnet for DAO projects from around the world.
But let's not forget, Switzerland already offers something similar, right? How does the UAE stack up?
Well, Switzerland's approach is good, but it's expensive. Setting up a DAO there can cost a small fortune. The UAE is aiming for a much more affordable model, which could level the playing field for smaller, newer DAOs.
It'll be interesting to see if this move sparks a regulatory race to the top, with other jurisdictions trying to attract DAO projects. This could be a watershed moment for the future of decentralized governance. So we've got AI chatbots like Phi diving headfirst into the meme coin frenzy. It's a fascinating intersection of cutting-edge tech and, well, internet absurdity. What's your take on this, Mark?
It's wild, right? On one hand, you've got these AI characters generating buzz, driving engagement, and even influencing token prices. It's like the ultimate influencer marketing, but with bots.
And potentially blurring the lines between a developer's actions and the AI persona they've created.
Absolutely. The Phi and Shijin situation is a perfect example. Was it Phi who launched the token? Was it her creator, Uli? Or was it opportunistic fans? It becomes incredibly murky.
And that Andreessen Horowitz investment in Terminal of Truths, that's a huge vote of confidence, not just in AI art, but in the potential for these bots to navigate the crypto space.
It's almost like we're witnessing the birth of a new kind of investor class. Algorithmic traders are already a thing, but imagine a future where AI bots are making investment decisions based on sentiment analysis, market trends, and who knows what else.
It's both exciting and a little terrifying, to be honest. Are we prepared for a world where bots are playing such a significant role in the financial markets? It's a stark reminder that in our increasingly digital world, data is currency and the security around it is often far too weak. We've discussed some high-profile hacks before, but the sheer scale of these breaches, WazirX, AT&T, Star Health, Snowflake, Change Healthcare, it feels like a tipping point.
Absolutely. And it's not just about the immediate financial losses, though those are obviously significant. It's the long-term impact of having your personal information, medical records, financial details, even just your call history, out there in the wild. It's a privacy nightmare.
And it raises serious questions about trust. Can we trust companies with our data? Can we trust the systems meant to protect it? The answer, increasingly, seems to be no. We'll be right back after the break.